want you to see in those verses that Tom read, the great mystery is that Gentiles will be added to the body of Christ. No one knew that. The great mystery is that the evangelism would go out to reach the Gentiles. And that was hidden in God before the foundation of Paul reveals that mystery now to let them know. And he says, I hope you're not hurt by my tribulations because they work for your reward. It's simply this. He's really letting them know that they work not only for your glory, I know he's saved, but to the glory of God. And he's letting them know, Gentiles, you're going to have tribulations. Because that was totally back then, Christ rejected the world. We're headed there now, in this country here, because we have nothing but Christ rejected and power. So I say that in love to them that maybe some of them would get saved. But that isn't the message today. And so I just wanted you to stay in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 3. I got to find that myself. And if Brian were here right now, I'd say, yes, Mike, that's in the New Testament. I know that. I haven't gone that far to forget it. But I'm right there. GE, Ephesians, GE Power Company. You know how often that has saved my life? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Remember, GE Power Company. Otherwise, you will never find it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Read it together. It's going to be 16 through 19. I want you to just, by God's grace, take some of the stuff that I'm going to tell you today, and we'll talk about it. 16. I got to find you. 16. That he, God, would grant you according to riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by your works. No, don't say that. By strengthened by might with his spirit in the inner man. His spirit. His spirit works in you. You don't work in yourself. You'll mess it up. I know. I'm a good messer. So that Christ, verse 17, take a look at that. May dwell in your hearts by faith that you be rooted and grounded in love. Whose love? Your love? No, his love. That you be rooted and grounded in his love. And I had something there to talk a little bit about. But verse 19 first. Okay, verse 18. Grounded in his love, verse 17, rooted in his love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Wow. He's love. And to know that the love of Christ, verse 19, passes knowledge. You never even think this up, will you? That ye might be filled with the fullness of God. And what he's saying here is that God's love, which passes all knowledge, may fill you to the full, because until you get that full, you will never understand how much God loves you who are saved as Christians. You will never understand it, I know. And so God wants you to understand the fullness of his love here, and we're going to talk a little more about that. But the fact is here, when he says, verse 16, strengthened with might by his spirit to the other man, verse 17, that you might be rooted and grounded in love. I want to give you an example here. Jeannie roots a lot of plants at home, you know, And no, they're not the kind of plants you're probably thinking about. She roots a lot of flower plants and these plants and that plants and everything else. And she does a great job of it. And sometimes the roots need a little help. So they have some of you, a rooting compound, right? And you put the root, you put it in that compound. A compound's like a, it could be a different type of compound, it could be white, bluish looking. It helps protect that area of the plant. It helps that plant to root. Now, I've never, in all those days of beautiful plants that she has rooted, ever walked up to a plant and the plant said, "Here, I've got to get those roots growing. Maybe if I love my leaves more, they'll grow. Maybe if I cut a couple leaves off, they'll get stronger and grow harder. So I better try and drop off a couple of those leaves." I know. Says, "Maybe if I pray harder, maybe that's what I'll do," the plant says. But you know something? The plant can't do nothing. Because it's not really rooting itself. The rooter is rooting those plants. The rooter is working on those plants. The rooter may be changing the water. The rooter may be giving it enough water. The plant depends 100% on that rooter to make sure that that jar of water doesn't go dry. The plant needs that rooter. And that's why when Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches, you show me, tell me, try and convince me of one tree where the apple says, if I help out, or the branch says, if I help out the vine, if I do my work that a plant should do, you know what a plant should do? It should shut up. And it should leave the vine to do its job. Because that plant, no matter what that branch does, will never increase the growth of fruit on that plant. Only the vine can do that. What I'm saying is stop killing yourself saying, if I try harder, work harder, do harder, you can't do anything here to help God. You understand that? What you do here, what you are called to do here, is to glorify God in heaven with your life. And your light may witness. And your light may help someone, and your light may show love to someone, your light may show forgiveness to someone, but your branch as a branch can do nothing without that vine. That's why we need the dependence of Jesus Christ continually. But here's what some of you say. I know what some of you say, because I say it all the time. How's that, Christian? If only I would preach better. Maybe that would be help to the saints. If only I would pray more, maybe the service would have went better. If only I would, maybe I didn't give enough this week. If I would give more, God would bless me more. If I would do this, don't you see that you can do nothing? That he which has begun a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, will perform it. Who's the performer in your life? Is it you or is it God? You've got to ask yourself that, because there's nothing you can do to please him more now if you're saved and in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so he which has begun a good work in you will perform it. The Bible says he will finish it. Philippians 2:13, I believe that is. And so, or maybe that's the same verse I gave you. It is God, yeah, Philippians 2:13. It is God that works in you the will and the do of his good pleasure. You got that? He does the work in you. So you say, "Well, Pastor, I read that if we do this and do that and do this and do that, and if we give more and maybe cook better food. And if we do all these things, that'll please God, and he'll be so happy with us, because I want God to be happy with me. God is already happy with you, don't you get it? You're already his in Christ Jesus. Give him time to work in your heart now. He loves you. And I'm going to go on even further. So does that mean we don't do nothing? Oh, I wish I could say that, because I wouldn't even be up here preaching. If God wanted you to do nothing, then in 1 Corinthians 12, we can rip the page out, because God gave everyone a measure of faith to exercise some gift. Your gift may be the gift of giving. Oh, that's right. Your gift may be the gift of giving. Your gift may be that gift of giving. The other one's gift is the gift of mercy, and some of you have saw mercy. The other one may be a gift of helping someone, just showing Christ's love to them. The other one may have a gift of giving. God gives you a measure of, listen, he has to actually give you that measure of faith. You can't muster it up on your own. He gives you the gift of merciful, and there are some very merciful Christians. But had God not begun a good work in you, you would not be merciful. You would not give. You would not be here. You understand? The fact that you're here, God loves you so much, he wants you here. He actually loves you so much. Forget the, but if I do this, or if I do this, or last night I doubted, or I'm very anxious today and everything. That's why we gave you a little homework assignment, which everyone's got it with their bulletin. Please take that every day. I'm ahead of myself on the sermon right now. Take that every day, and with that, those verses, remember what I'm going to preach on, because that's going to be the capital right there. And take those verses, and you know what you can do it yourself? When you get out of bed and things aren't going just right, you don't feel good or anything, I know I've done it. Is wrap your arms around you like this. Just do that for about 30 seconds, a minute. I don't care if you do it 2 hours. And you say, God, thank you for wrapping your arms around me. So I really need it. That's a much better thing. You understand that? You all awake? I watch eyes, by the way. I don't like eyes closed, but I like them open. Why? I put toothpicks in my eyes. That way there they stay. Okay. Ephesians 6:19, we already done it. Now, rooted and grounded in love, we already done that. Watch this, verse 18. That you may comprehend with all saints, and this is crucial, the breadth and length and depth and height of God's love. Comprehend in the Greek is to take eagerly, to seize hold of it. Not just think about it, to grab it and say, I want it. That big fish out of the ocean, I want that fish. I want to catch that fish. God wants you to grab hold of his love now. Not think about it. Not think about it even how much he loved you. He wants that love in you to envelop you. You understand that? I'll show you that, and I'll prove that down the road here in a second. That you may be filled with all the fullness, verse 19, of God, and that fullness is grounded in the love of God. He wants you to be completely full with it. Romans 12, 1 and 2, go there with me, please. This is a very important thing, and I can give you a good analogy of it. Romans 12, 1, 2, all of you probably know that. You're not from this world. But I want you to see it for yourself. I'll go there with you. Maybe I won't, because I can't find it. But when I get there, I'll go there with you. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Some of you are cheating. Are probably there already. You're making me look bad. I told you I'd give you time. And didn't I tell you that? Romans 12. the Corinthians already here. Romans is such a tiny little pages here. Here we go. I found it. I'm so proud of myself. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Listen to this. I beseech you, therefore, Paul says, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when God says reasonable service, remember, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Jesus tells us he's meek and lowly, and he tells us that you will find rest in him. Have you found rest in Christ? You know, I wonder how much rest you really found in Christ since you've been saved. You've been told to do everything, 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 and you can't do enough, and so the rest dissipates and disappears. Well, I'm going to show that type of way of thinking is wrong. So God wants to do this. Listen to this. Be not conformed to the world. I'm going to show you what conform means in the original language. But be ye transformed. I'm also going to show you that. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'll tell you what this message is about. God wants to show you in his word that you no longer are the worker. He uses you and gives you the insight and the heart to do what he has called you to do. And that's why what God has started from the beginning, Philippians 1:6, Philippians 2:13, he will finish it, not you. We got our eyes on ourselves. We're trying to follow a law that's in the past. You're on a new path. And that new path is not following the law, the do's and don'ts. Your new path is following God. He'll keep you whole. He'll give you the idea that you should not sin. He'll do all that stuff. And he's already done that, hasn't he? The first day that I used to ride home from work and ask God, because I didn't know any Christians really at the time, and ask God, what is it you want of me? We came to this church one time, and all of a sudden, 2 weeks after, we hear something, they're having a tag sale. And I thought I should come because the kids, I was raised Catholic, the kids are need to be raised Protestant, some sort, we'll give it a shot. Well, it was a wrong shot, but it was a shot at the beginning, and God sent us here. And so anyways, I had a, God, what do you want me? I'm driving home from Wheaton Park. And I said, hey, you're having this thing. That's how you'll love me more, God. I've got a silver dollar in my wallet. I'm going to give that to the church tag sale that's coming up in 2 weeks. So I'll give that silver dollar to the pastor. God, I know, I think that's what you want. I think that's what you want. And then I'll understand that you really do love me, because I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that kind of love. How could God love someone like me? I was a perfectionist. I was a nutcase half the time. I was everything that I shouldn't be. And I mean, shouldn't be. What do you want from me, God? And I know that he wants the silver dollar. So I came, and believe it or not, Taylor was his name, the pastor here. She never fell. Taylor was here, and he said, I came here because I know God wants me to give you this. And silver dollars at the time were over $20. Silver dollars. They were expensive. $20 back then was expensive too. That was 41 years ago. And just coming to a church, church is church. Gospel never heard. And so, anyways, I give them that $20 and I left the church. I said, well, I'm going to miss that $20. but I sure feel good. I'll bet I please God. You know, the next day was the same nonsense. God, what do you want from me? See, He had quickened me. He had made me alive. But I didn't know about Jesus. He shed blood for me. See, who the Father makes alive will be drawn to the Son. I wasn't drawn there yet. And so anyways, to make a story short, I says, okay, conform to the image, let's hit that, and transform. Conform means to the same pattern. Do not be conformed to the same pattern of the world or its thinking, he said in that verse. Be not conformed to the world. But be transformed. You know what the Greek word is? Metamorphosis. And I'm going to give you an example. Be not transformed. I'll start with this because God just gave it to me. God is not trying to fix you. He's trying to transform you. And he which has begun a good work will do that. And I'll show you how in a minute. Let me see here. He wants you to see him in his love and in, through his eyes. And when you've got that look of God and how much he loves you, he can't help but fall back. Transformation. I'll give you an example. And all you know this example, so I brought it up. I'm going to bring it up. I may have mentioned it to someone the other day, what I'm going to do. And they looked at me like I was nuts. A caterpillar. You know what that caterpillar says? I'll get back here. He says, I wish they got a little microphone here. It's also taking my recording pack and my phone that's on me and everything else. Transform, metamorphosis. I'm a caterpillar. You know something? You were all caterpillars, what you were saying. But here's what the caterpillar does. If only I could fly. If only I could get out there. If only I had wings. Boy, I would fly. I'd see the whole earth the way it is, and it would be so beautiful, and I'd be beautiful looking because unless you've seen a good-looking caterpillar, I don't think you have. You're just a caterpillar. But all of a sudden, when you come to God, he metamorphoses you. He transforms you. That's why God put that word there. He transformed you into the butterfly. It's so easy. Not for you, but for him. And all of a sudden now you can fly and everything seems to be different. And you're flying around, you're free. You're free in Christ now. You're a butterfly. You're not wrapped up in a cocoon. You're not crawling around on the grass. You're a transformed person. God put that word in there, not to take the old Mike, Mr. Perfectionist, who could never get nothing right or understand anything that he couldn't understand. He could understand it better himself, but he really works on it. But found out most of the time I understood less than I worked on. And so he got that and he transformed you. And you said, well, what happens after that transformed you? After God transformed you? God is saying here that your identification is no longer here. You're a butterfly. And in light of that, you say, well, then that means I can do anything I really want. I'm transformed. My sins are in heaven now. Everything's perfect. As God says, he takes those sins to heaven. You are declared righteous in Christ Jesus. You're declared righteous. And he takes those sins to heaven. And you say, well, I can do anything I want now. I'm a butterfly. I got to make it. If you can comprehend God's love for you, better than you've ever loved in your life. If you could comprehend God's love for you, you would see his forgiveness and want to forgive others as he forgave you. Again, God never called you to fix you. He's the fixer. Because of his love, he wants you beautiful, most good-looking butterfly in the world. And the way you'll do that is to let go and let God exercise the spirit in you of the gifts that he gave you to understand that love. He will be understanding that. So you understand so far what I'm saying. You're no longer a butterfly. Here's what I wrote here. You see your whole life as a butterfly wrapped in the love of God. And through his eyes, you see what God sees. God saw his son hang on the cross to forgive you. When you see through God's eyes how the pain, the horror of this, the misery of that was, and the shed blood, when you see that, and your concentration is now no longer fixed on your works, but on him, how could you not? How could you not? How could you not love him? So we'll talk about 1 John 4:16, would you turn there for me, please? We're actually getting there pretty good. I could almost slow up. 1 John 4:16. It's very important. That's near the end of your Bible someplace. First Peter's here. 1 John 4. This is very good. So what I want to do is emphasize that love. I want to cement it in 4:16, and I will be doing it very shortly. 4:16. And we have, I hope you all got it. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Do you believe it? I'm serious. Do we believe God's love? You know, for many years, even as a pastor, my first year, I never believed God. You know why? Because I was in difficult situations, and I said, if God loved me, why did he put me in this situation? You know why I was in that situation? So I could preach this message today to you. That don't follow mine. Mike will disappoint you. Follow God. Forget the do's and don'ts in your life, and out of love, do as God has done. It's a whole new ballgame now. The old path we used to be, the old perfectionist path, I'm going to give you some points of what that means, is it's gone. Okay, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Have you believed that love? Have you really believed it, that Jesus sent his son to die for your sins on Calvary's cross? You're a sinner. And if you go after death in that state, having not repented of your sins and called on Jesus Christ to save you, so as is told us every Sunday morning, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You are a whosoever. And if you've called on the name of Christ, you're saved with a repentant heart. Who gave you that repentant heart? God did. We're not going to go there now. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Acts 13:48. I can give you a million verses on it is God that gave you repentance unto life. You never gave it yourself. And by the way, Ephesians 2:8-9, by faith, you are saved through grace, God's grace, not your faith. You could never save your faith by your faith any more than man in the moon. As a matter of fact, the Bible says before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses and sins, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you not only were you dead, but it had to be God that gave you repentance unto life. So it's so important. Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Don't you see? It's all of God. Your belief is of God. Peter healed the guy one day. And he's going down the street, and this guy's here, you know, we've got a lot of guys on the street now, but at this stage, we're going one in this particular area. And he's walking down the street, and the guy needs to be healed. So Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Give money to him. But by his faith, that's how this man was made. Did you know that God gave that guy who needed to be healed instant faith to believe that he could be healed? And I don't know about the Jesus part yet until Peter got done witnessing to him, but he gave him healed to believe. Why? So that the glory of God might be manifest unto his city. And it was by, the Bible says, his faith that this man is healed. Nothing I did, Peter said. His faith, the guy's faith, no, not in that context, if you read it. He was talking about the faith that God gave him. Even a man with a son. I believe God helped my unbelief. Jesus did say, if you believe with all your mind, your son can be saved, delivered from a demon. And this man said, I believe, help my unbelief. Little faith. Jesus, in his love and mercy, healed him. See, it was all of God. It was all of God. Nothing that man did. Okay, verse 16. Did I hit that again? Okay, let's hit it. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love of God. This is crucial now. This is the expository outline. I'm going to give you a second. And maybe a little frost on the cake at the end, but this is it. And we have known and believed. It's the thing that was passed out by Ron. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Have you known that? Have you believed it? See, I ask all these questions. I ask them of myself. Have you really known that? Have you really known that belief? We have known and believed the love that God has to us. Watch this. God is love. That is a crucial verse here because we think, well, God loves us. His whole frame is love. Truly, he will cast the sinner of the sinner, the non-elect into hell. He's going to do that. But he loves you so much that he doesn't want to be contaminated with that. We'll never understand why he chose you. All we can do is say, thank you, God. That's the comprehension. Forget the questions. Concentrate on what I'm saying. Okay? Herein is love made perfect. God is love. So we don't even understand that. Well, I could probably match God's love. You will never match it. You will never match his hate because he hates sin. You will never match so many of his attributes. We try to, don't we? You see, if only I pray more, I'll understand God's love. God, you will not. His ways are not our ways, nor his thoughts our thoughts. You will never understand God. And I will never understand. But one thing God wants you to understand today is for you, personally. Herein is love made perfect. This changed. This can change your life as it changes. Herein is our love made perfect, that as we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So are we. Herein is our love made perfect. Perfect, do I have perfect love? Perfectionist that I am. I have to, but I didn't love that person that much. You keep your eyes on God, You help me love everyone. Here is I love made perfect that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, what's that mean? You're going to be judged. And get rewards for love. Look at it. I don't care if my will works or not. The greatest reward I could ever ask for is to be with Jesus. God, man, what a reward that is. And I could hear people say, amen. Yeah, that is so crucial. That's the reward of it. And so you say this, okay, there is no fear in love. Here we go now. A perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. And by the way, I'll just hit you with this verse, 2 Peter 1:7, saved my life. That God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You think you're going crazy when you're thinking about God? People think you're crazy out there. You're not. He's given you a sound mind. He's not given us the spirit of fear. For any time you have that fear, any time. The fear that I don't pray enough. The fear that I don't do enough. The fear that I don't do this. And I'm wondering if God loves me. If God says in his word, I am love. And I called you. And I will wrap you in my love. Get a handle on that love. And you'll see everything after that through my eyes. First of all, there's no fear in love. A perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. God is not torment you with that. He that fears, watch this, is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I want to hit this first verse. This is that position now where I'm going to hit these verses that we just read. First of all, I underline no fear in love. After that, I put here, God is love. But when I'm constantly says, well, I know God is love, but I did this in the past. I know God is love, but sometimes I feel that I don't measure up. And sometimes I feel that I don't pray enough. And sometimes I feel that I don't read my Bible enough. And sometimes I said that I can't memorize scripture. And God said, well, you can't put me in such a maze. But the thing is, God, there is torment and fear. And God is trying to show us here that there's no fear in love. I feel, here's a big one. And if you don't think it's true in our Christian churches today, then you're not looking. I feel I've committed some sort of unpardonable sin and God really never loved me at all and will never love me again. That fear is from the pits of hell. Because if you've called on Jesus Christ to forgive your sin, Jesus up in heaven and God up in heaven says, I'm enveloping you with my love. Don't need to fear that or anything else because you're already in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are declared righteous. You are not a stepchild or a foster child or any child. You are my son. You are called the sons of God. And yet it does not appear what we shall be, but when we are with him, we shall see that it was true. But wouldn't it be wonderful if you could see that now? That you're an heir. Everything Jesus owns, you're getting. We've heard that before, haven't we? So that's so important to understand that. Here again, I walk away from. Okay. No fear in love. And so you say, well, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe that's it. Why don't I read my Bible? Maybe this is, maybe, you know what I would say if I was counseling you? I'd say, you don't understand love. Yes, but I know God loves you. No, you don't. Because if you did, you would not fear so much. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying if you did understand the love of God, you would not fear so much. God wants to take you, and just like I did a little while ago, and say, Sarah, don't fear. Let me give you a hug. Or carry over here. Don't fear. Let me give you a hug. And some of you are fearing today. I'm saying, don't fear. I want you to get a hold of my love, because that will never change, no matter even what you do wrong. And guess what? If you see God through those eyes of His love, you won't hurt Him. There's something where Paul said to the people in I believe it was Rome, to grace that should sin be allowed or okay to grace may abound? God forbid. The one who's really saved, they're going to have a tender heart against them. Don't you see that? And who gives you that tender heart? God does. God does. The old wicked, you think he had a tender heart before he got saved? You think he looked toward God? I knew him a little bit, but not in his rough days. But I consider him still pretty rough when I knew him when I met him. And yet God loved him and showed him his love, and that he'd save him from the pits of hell and tribulation and everything else. There's no fear in love. Listen, if you've got fear, that's the truth. I catch that. Oh, the pastor, I love God. I understand God is love. You got any fear? You got any doubts of God? You think you sin beyond grace? What is it with you? You don't have an understanding of God's love, and that's the problem. God wants to embed that in our hearts. Everywhere we go, it's Him that sent you. Everything we do, it's Him that's sending you. You're here today because God sent you to hear this message. It's all Him. And you know why He did it? Because He's got a love that you and I will never comprehend. Perfect love casts out fear. Let me just say this. We're walking a pathway of works now, aren't we? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're working, walking a path. Get over it. You're never going to be able to work so hard that you could possibly please God anymore. And He's pleased with you already. So here's what happens when we work. Oh, man, I got to preach another sermon this Sunday. Don't think I didn't say that as a preacher? What was I looking at God's word work? It was a job. That's all. Just a job. That's nonsense. You're representing it. I'm representing it. You're representing in your life a holy God that loves you so much that He wants you to experience that love. And when you do, you will do anything in His love. And I know some of you that work very hard at that because you understand the love of God. It passes all understanding. Perfect love casts out fear. Let me say this. You were on one path going the wrong way. God got you on another path now. And that path says, I'm trying to explain to you how much I love you. Will everything you do from now on be done in my love? So that people may really, more than see you, see me. That's crucial. Okay? Fear has torment. We have fear of punishment of God. He's not pleased with us. He keeps us from a place of torment. He keeps us from being anxious. word says you love me, and that's all I need to make it through this day. If this was the last sermon I ever preached, I hope it glorifies God and His love. Perfect love casts out fear. So that's in those verses, and verse 18 and 19. Fear has torment. You think God is tormenting you? Here we go. We got the if only. A fear of punishment of God. He's going to punish us now, bring us to the woodshed because He's not pleased with us. He may bring you to the woodshed. But He loves you as a son. You ever say that to your kids? Some of you have kids. This spanking is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Yeah. That's how God operates with us. Because He is love. With those who have called on Him, He won't operate any different. And if you see me going into the decon in the cupboard, well, I wonder what this is, little crystals. I think I'm about to eat some of these and see how fast they walk. I see. You take that with decon. Anyone listening? We want the poison sometimes. God wants to correct you from the poison, but He doesn't love. God, I'm sick now. I'm in pain now. I'm this now. I'm that now. Everything. God wants to correct you. You know, I'm going to tell you this. I don't brag about my sickness, but for the glory of God, I do. I have a really bad cold in here. It's been cut on multiple times and everything. Sometimes I get painted. If I don't watch it, that can burst that cold and I can have a serious problem. So I go on a liquid diet. Yesterday was the first meal I had since breakfast with the pastor because I was getting such wicked pain. And I went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and a loving wife made me squash food. And then I had some other type of soup, another type of soup, tried a little bit of yogurt. At the time, that was too strong for me. And so, little by little, and I said, I hope I'm good for Sunday. But then again, I said, if I'm not, and the pastor has to preach, that means God didn't want me to preach a sermon, so I don't care. And yet, I cared in my heart because I wanted you to understand the love of God. You will. You will. We've only got a few more minutes. But fear has torment. You feel torment at times that you don't do enough, that you don't work enough, that you don't pray enough, that you don't do this enough. God says in His Word. Remember I said in Sunday school, watch for the negatives. If you're a perfectionist, they can be dangerous. That doesn't mean hate them, cross them out of your Bible, which I do. But it means they can be dangerous. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Who has ever said here, but I don't remember keeping all his commands. I think I blew this command and that command. And maybe he doesn't love me anymore, like he said. The great part about God is His love is never changing. He's going to love you just like you would love your own child. Or fear has torment. Here's a good one, verse 18. He who fears is not made perfect in love. You got that? If I talk to someone and say, I fear, well, I know God loves me, but I fear. They come up with 10 different things of why they fear. And you know what I tell them? You really don't know that God loves you. You may be saved. You may understand Scripture. But you don't understand the love of God. You don't understand that you're not under the law pathway anymore. You're under grace pathway. God wants to, how many churches out there today give a message on joy And you know why? Because the churches don't understand what joy is, because they put the heavy task on their congregation. God looks at that and says, big mistake. You're discouraging more than you're encouraging. And I'm assembling one another in so much the more. Why? That we may discourage one another. Doesn't it say that? No. Exhorting one another in so much the more, do not forsake the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is. We're to encourage one another because God wants to do that to you. Here we go. Here he is again. Verse 18, verse John 4. It's not made perfect in love. You don't understand? But if I give enough, maybe that'll show God I love him more. No, it won't. You're depending on your giving to show God any love, God any love, that he'll love you more. You just waste your money. You waste it. Because God couldn't love you anymore. Don't you understand that? You get a grip of that, you've got a grip of everything. So then you'll say, I want to give more because I know that God loves me and gave all for me. It's a whole transformation. You're no longer a caterpillar, you're a butterfly. Fly like a butterfly. Under grace, not law. So the perfectionist, and I'm going to hit that in 2 seconds, says, well, but if I do enough, everything will be right. Perfectionist, nothing is right. And just when you think you've got it right, you're going to find out that you were wrong. Because it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Get over that. Enough has been accomplished already in Christ. I got a little illustration or something. I got a couple more verses here, and I hinted for it, but maybe next Sunday school, we can look at them. But I think 1 John 3. Turn there a second, because if I don't get this, 3:1, very important. You'll be caught. You'll leave here discouraged still, and think you didn't do enough. I'm going to show you you've done more than me. Get rid of the do's and instead concentrate on the love. If anything you do then, you'll be inspired by God's love. June Page the piano, not because she's making $500 a week and pay it, but she's not. June plays the piano, you know why? But she knows God loves her, loves the music, loves the song, saints to sing. And how blessed she is that we have that music. Wow. But when Tom plays the harp, do you know that I can sense the love of God in that harp? It's just, if God wants you to give, yeah. If God wants you to do this, do it. But do it not out of a sense of law, of having to do it. Do it out of the sense of God's love for you. I don't mention your love. No, your love and mine is faulting God. But when you put God's love and wrap his arms around you, you can't help but not sin. You cannot help but not forgive. You cannot help but not. Because you see everything in heaven now. Don't you see? So, anyway, 1 John 3:20-21, I'm just going to read these. I'm not expecting. For if, here's a good one that someone and I were talking about yesterday. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Don't you love that? He knows what's going on in our heart. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. What's he saying? One confidence, get out of the condemning. Stop it. See God's love in it all. Important. I'm going to read this to you. Don't turn to, but if you want to, you can. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Never get better love than that. Here's what I wrote here. You got a new family now. You got a new start. You're not a caterpillar anymore, and yet all us little caterpillars are trying to please God by our works, and it ain't gonna happen. The work was done already on the cross of Jesus Christ. When I do anything, it will work on a sermon like I worked hard on this sermon. And when I do anything on a sermon, I do it because God loved me so much, He wants me to give the best I can for Him. That's why I. And the perfectionist part of me says, I hope I get it right. I hope I say everything right. I hope I cover all the verses. I hope this. You know what I say to myself? Shut up. Because if God don't help me, you're all in trouble.
Yeah.
God helps me. And I hope He helps you too in His love. I wrote this here. New family, new start, new journey, not a one-time fix. That's why Ron, when he passed out those things, I'm going to say, take that thing and read it every day. That's my exposition there, those two verses that I exposed. The fear of God, fear of His torment, and everything. And see how false that is. That if you say you love God and understand the love of God, that those verses there will show you that God has not given me this fear. He's not given me this torment. So if you love me, you will keep my word. You will never keep all His word. Get it through your system. You will never keep all His commands. Is that, well, that I don't have to. No, don't you see? If you see God's love and see through God's eyes, you'll want to keep as many commands as you can. You'll want to love as much as you can. You will. But what happens is when we take those commands and place them on you as a mandatory thing, you go back to the caterpillar mode. Get out of it. Get out of it. Quit it. We're not under the law. How can we, under the law, experience grace? And I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling for you. I'm the cheerleader today for God. And I'm not telling you to do a thing. Does it help when I'm complimented? Does it help you when someone says, you know, Sarah, you're really beautiful? Does it help when someone does this to someone? Of course it does. That's a way of encouraging. Never, 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 never. You know why? Because you're not in their shoes. You're not in their shoes. Every word you've gotten, I would. I just want to give you 7 distortions here and a little closing, because we're done. You know, it's number one, perfectionism. You are looking at someone who lived most of my Christian life or half today. And I got so tired and so discouraged because I think, what if someone came up to me and said, that sermon was really lousy. Well, number one, here's what I would do. This is perfectionist. Well, then leave the church then, because I don't really care. Did I do that? No, I didn't, but I would feel that way. See, feel it. If someone looks at the love of God and comes up to you and says, I love you so much. You may blow it, I blow it, but I love you. You know why? Because God loves you. I know who's faithful here. I know who comes. I know who misses. I know this and I know that. But the fact is this, that don't change nothing. God wanted you to hear this message today because he wants you to know to put love above all your works. And James says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without works, it's impossible. Why working on stuff? Listen, you take those verses and you put them in your perfectionist mode. And every Christian has a little perfectionist in them. Don't kid me. I know. Because I've asked some, do you love God? Well, then what are you here for? You understand God loves you? Yes, I do. Well, always a but. Catch yourself on that. If only I was a better wife. If only I was a better husband. If only I was this. If I was that. You are that. Say, well, I don't feel like that. It doesn't matter what you feel. Don't you see? It matters what God feels. God, thank you for your grace. You loved me when I was a sinner. I can't even comprehend how much more you love me now. I can't comprehend it. Help me do that. That's why that handout gave you. Seven common distortions that Christians have today under the law or whatever. Perfectionism. It'll never be good enough. Get over it. Struggle with uncertainty. Maybe if I would have done this, it would have turned out better. Done that, it would have turned out better. Always going back, rewinding the clock again and everything. You're not a caterpillar anymore. You blew in the past. Admit it. Get over it. Move on. Because concentrate on God's love and forgiveness. Overestimating threats. Well, what if this? What if that happened? There's nothing wrong with understanding threats. Don't get so paranoid that you overestimate. I say that because this is a very threatening world we're living in.
Yes.
Inflated responsibility. I struggle on those work days to cook food. Okay, Jeannie does. So I lied. It's okay today. God said so. And what happens is she works and works and works, and I says, you're trying to make it the best, or you're trying to make it. And we all want to do the best, don't we? Because if I don't do the best, then maybe I didn't measure up to God today. Because God wanted me to do the best, but I just skipped the cooking a little bit, bought some frozen dinner, threw them in a pot. God doesn't care about none of us. He cares about your love for each other, saints. And by the way, if you love the saints, you love for each other, and don't worry about it. Don't go nuts over it. Just cook it. Get it done. And if anyone gets tomato poison or anything, just blame it on someone else's fault. Later responsibility. Intense need to control your thoughts. I'm not going to think that way again. I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to think it. Mike preached about the love of God. Now I'm going to think this way now. More the devil's going to say, here has torment, and I'm going to give you torment. That's where that little homework assignment, you put God's arms around you and say, God, you said you love me. I called on you. I asked you to forgive my sins. I repented of my sins. I'm trying to do the best I can, but I can never do anything without. Concentrate that it's all God that gives you. All of it. He gives you the faith. He gives you the grace to believe. He called you when you were a sinner, when you hated him. He sent his son to the cross and blood, and we think we can work for salvation? God forbid! You can tell I'm passionate about this, because I am. We have difficulty with our emotions, which was the last one here, and we do. We do. I feel I've blown God. Oh, let's see. How many days a week are seven? I've blown God at least 8 times that week. 8 days. And so the thing is, don't go there. Once you do, I want you to understand the love. If you don't see God's perfect love, that God is love, and that he loves you so much, and that through that you will love others more than you ever did. When you love like God loves, you say, well, I don't think I can love like God loves. Because I really, that person I don't really like. You know something? You can try a little bit, can't you? So it takes. And you're exercising yourself for the love of God someday. Some of you I looked at when I came here and I said, boy, I don't know if I can ever love that. I'll talk to that one. I will listen to people where I can toss them around. Pretty soon, guess what? I had to raise 7 points. I had to raise 7 points. Not the check, the person himself, the check mark. Because God showed me, if you look at me through my eyes, you'll love that person. That's how God taught me. That's why when you see those verses I gave you, the little thing, let God teach you that too. His love will change your perfectionism. And you say, well, will it change you by tomorrow? It will change you day by day to the point where you won't even have to think about God's love. You will know it. Embedded deep into your heart. That's how much he loves you. He which has begun to go work will finish it. I'm going to read you 121. Keep yourselves, watch this, you can write that down. In the love of God, looking for the mercy. See, that's where God's love comes from, his mercy. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. God, I got your love. I think now with Jesus on the cross, I'm understanding your mercy for me. Passionate about it because I want it so much in you. By your works, you will never satisfy him as much as you satisfy him now. You know that? But you're already right. Well, I can quit work. No, because if you do quit the works, or want to quit the works, you don't do some works for God, then you're not exercising whatever gift he gave you, which you feel okay with. But does God say, oh, they're slacking off on those works again, and they're a pain. I think I'll set them aside for you. Never, 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 never will do that. You know why? He loves you. Just like my kids, if you ever have kids, if the dog or anything don't obey you and everything like this, do you beat the dog? You know, some of you probably did when you were younger, but do you beat the dog now? You beat this, and you do this, and you do that, and you get everything down. Yes, that's it. So Jude 1:21 closes with this: keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God has mercy. We need mercy. We don't need to be beat over the head every time that we need to work better. I'm not saying that's happening here. I'm saying it's happening across the Church of Jesus Christ. And you show me if you find one sermon on the internet that speaks of joy of Christ. Most Christians don't have joy because they think you're doing everything wrong. And so because they think you're doing all the wrong, God doesn't love them enough. Get over that. Please get over that. That's what this message is. Let's close prayer.